Hello, this is Amy.
And this is Andrew, and this is the AADL Productions Podcast.
Last week, Andrew and I had the opportunity to speak with Mark Tucker, the creative director of the Ann Arbor Festivals event. Mark, who teaches art through the Lloyd Hall Scholars Program at the University of Michigan, began his career as art director for the Michigan Thanksgiving Parade and has studied papier-mâché making with the renowned float builders in Via Reggio, Italy.
So this is the third year of Festifools, and it keeps growing every year. I mean, this year it's moved from Maine, now it's Maine and Liberty, I saw.
Well, we closed off Liberty just as a staging area, but we did increase the size from one block to two long blocks on Main Street after the first year. And we thought there might be too many people crammed into one block, and that was true.
Is there more participation this year? Do you have more people involved?
Yes, we got we have a few more students. We got about 220 students involved, and then more and more community members have come down and helped us in the studio, but also on the day of the event, we need about 300 people just to help to manhandle these puppets down the street, and so that's great when they show up on the day of the event in the Palio parking lot, and then we just say, okay, you, go with that person over there, and you, go with that strange-looking eggplant over there. And so it seems to have worked out so far. Last year, when we had the last person come volunteer with us, and we gave them the last prop that we had out of the truck, and so.
So you want people to participate more than just watch. You want participants, not just spectators.
I think ideally this event would be all participatory, you know, and there'd be no more people on the side of the streets. But I know that people are actually making things in their basements right now and in their garages, and we don't know what they're going to bring to it. And so that's pretty exciting. 826, for instance, emailed us a little while ago and said, can we bring 30 robots down? Of course we said no.
What about the kites, the Festa kites?
Okay, so Festa kites grew out of a course that's taught through the Lloyd Hall Scholars Program, and I work for the Lloyd Hall Scholars Program in LSNA, and this course is taught by Matt Schlein, and it's actually a paper engineering course, but they do a lot of really fun creative projects like pop-up books, and it involves an enormous amount of engineering and mathematics, so I don't actually know what they do, but his last project is going to be, how does he put it, like a flying kinetic three-dimensional paper object, otherwise known as kites. And so the only requirement for the students is that these be able to get off the ground. So we thought, well, if he's going to have 20 students out there on Palmer Field trying to fly these things, we might as well invite the community to come down and bring their own handmade paper contraption. So I don't know how many people are going to show up this first year, but I think in time it could be a really cool regional invitational, flying sculpture event.
Were you surprised at the first one at how many people showed up and came in to participate, or had that always been one of your goals?
Well, one of our goals, but absolutely surprised. At that time, we had a small space that we were working out of, and up off of North Main Street. And so we just walked down the street with these things, and we had no idea that we needed permits and so forth to do this. But almost the best part of the whole parade was the fact that people just came out of their houses and onto their porches and just gawked and said, what is this thing? And then they just started following us to Main Street. And then when we got to Main Street, we turned the corner, and we really had no idea what to expect. And it was very gratifying to see that an enormous number of people had showed up to help support us on this.
I want to just ask a little bit about your background. You were a puppeteer, a juggler, a ventriloquist, and you worked for the America's Parade, Thanksgiving Parade. What other influences were there? How did you get going?
Yeah. When I went to grad school at U of M, and I was a painting major in the art school. And when I got out, I was looking for a job, and I answered a blind ad, and it took me to Detroit to a big warehouse. And when I walked in the front door, it was one of those kind of aha moments where I had arrived. And inside was a giant storage facility for the Thanksgiving Day parade floats. And I realized, oh, I really wanted to make these things. And so So I had a job there, and quickly I became the art director for a few years. But one of the neat things that they did for me was they sent me to Italy for two different sabbaticals. And I worked with these Italian artists in a town on the Mediterranean called Viareggio. And this place is incredible. And they do this Carnevale parade, which blows everything that we do here in the United States out of the water. The floats are 5 stories tall. They have 200 dancing people on them. They have 30 to 40 people inside pulling levers and ropes and stuff. And there are these huge three-dimensional kind of political cartoons that move all over the streets, and people are jumping up and down on them, singing and dancing, and they've got bands on them. And I said, wow, how can I bring this idea, this concept back to the United States? Well, that was 20 years ago, and it's taken me that long to figure out a way to actually start to bring that here. Obviously, we've scaled it down for Ann Arbor, but that was the impetus for it, was how do we make something that wasn't a commercial parade like the Thanksgiving parade is, where we're just advertising, essentially, whoever will, whatever sponsor will put their name on it. But we wanted to do something that was non-commercial, where anybody could say anything they wanted to within certain visual restrictions. We didn't want people to have placards and signs and talking about their politics that way, but we wanted them to be able to express themselves and any kind of message they had through the visual arts. And that's how that started.
Would you want to bring it? Would you want to bring the level of complexity of this up if you had the opportunity in a few years? Would you want to start doing larger floats and that kind of thing?
That's a tricky question. I think I did in the beginning, but I also like the real handmade, hand-operated feel of what we have here in Ann Arbor. I think once we start getting bigger, then you've got to have bigger chassis, and they've got to be on wheels, and it's a very different event. And it's not to say I wouldn't like to do that event. I'm just not sure that Ann Arbor's the place to do it. When we used to make parade floats, for instance, they were really pretty static, and they might have had little motors moving some things on them. But it's amazing how, like, if you look around our studio right now, all these pieces are hanging from the walls and the ceilings, and they're pretty dead. But once people start to grab onto a stick and make the arms move and make the head swivel around and start to interact with the audience, that's where the magic happens. And it's indescribable how this big chunk of newspaper and paint ends up being this creature character that somehow touches the life of a small kid on the street, and they remember for the rest of their lives. I mean, I think it's pretty magical, and it never gets old.
What's the theme this year, or what are you looking to portray this year that you
haven't yet? Every year we decided to piggyback on the University of Michigan's theme semester, and this year they are doing the universe, yours to discover. And we found this to be a very narrow theme. It's really hard to embrace. So we're not really sure how our pieces are going to fit in with that. So it's a little nerve-wracking. But we actually have students from the student docents from the Museum of Natural History that have come down, and they're making all the planets, I guess, minus one this year. And so that should be fun to see all the planets, and perhaps there'll be a Galileo sighting or two, and the usual other things that are in the universe.
Can you tell us a little bit what you're going to be working on today while we're here?
Right. Today, Patty Smith is bringing her students from Bates Middle School in Detroit, who are visually impaired, although you wouldn't know it, the way they are so creative. Last year, we had the pleasure of having them here in the studio, and they made some really wonderful creatures based on the Zodiac?
Chinese Zodiac,
right. And so those were fun. And this time, what we're going to do with the universe theme, I think, is we will invent a planet of our own, and then what were we going to do, Patty? We're going to create some mass.
We're going to create some mass, and we're going to figure out what kinds of things they do on this planet and maybe work around that as well.
Right. So hopefully we'll have these space aliens who will come and inhabit Festifools on April 5th.
So this really continues to come together right up to, like, the day before.
So as you can see, if you look around the room, I mean, it doesn't look like we're very far ahead here. But somehow they do all manage to get put together like giant pieces of a puzzle, and we get them down there on time.
What about the music, the other people that are involved?
Well, we've been very fortunate to work with Groove for the last 3 years. Groove is about 25 to 30 students from the University of Michigan, and they do a kind of a Blue Man Group meets Stomp style drum performance. And they are really the backbeat to our whole thing. We've had other drum groups come down as well and join us, and I hope we'll have some renegade drummers come this year. Because it's always fun to have lots of these groups sort of competing for some airtime. But Groove is excellent, and this year we've decided to expand Groove's performance. So we perform for an hour with Groove on the street, and then from 4 to 5 p.m., and then from 5 to 5:30, Groove will have the street to themselves. And so I think you're going to see a really fantastic performance if you've never been to the Michigan Theater to see them. They do an awesome show, and we're lucky to have them.
After sitting down with Mark for a while, he agreed to walk us around the studio and take us through the process of making the papier-mâché creatures for Festifools.
This is where we keep the papier-mâché glue. Last year, we'd never kept it in the fridge, and it smelled worse in here.
So how did you get the studio? How hard was that? What was involved?
Well, like I said, we started out, I rented a little garage space down on Felch Street last year, and we quickly outgrew that. It was probably, 900 to 1,000 square feet. And then the university got behind this pretty quickly, and the dean of LSNA, Terry McDonald, gave us this space permanently it was last summer. So we worked in here temporarily last year, and the event was successful enough. I think they could see the outreach potential and the in-reach potential, and the fact that we can bring the public school system in here. This space is absolutely crucial to being able to make this more of a community effort than just an ad hoc thing that we pull together once a year. So hopefully we can people will find out about us, and they'll start to come down here more and more and bring their groups and create pieces that then end up in this event. So it's much more of a community created piece than it is right now, which is a much more of a university created project.
Can you walk us quickly through steps to making one of these?
Process, sure. Yeah. Now this is a process that I learned in Italy, and so we still use it, and we have visiting artists who come now, and they show us lots of different ways that they do things, and so we're incorporating as many different kinds of large form making, AKA puppets, as we can. This is a big pile of clay right here, and so we use clay to sculpt the actual pieces, especially when we want them to look like something. Like this is a Marilyn Monroe, for instance. I think there's a Barack over here. So students will sculpt these out of clay first, and then, depending on whether we want to make multiples or not, I think we've got a Where's Waldo here. We thought we'd have about 8 or 10 of those out on the street. So if we're going to make multiples, we'll then pour plaster over the pieces that are made and then pull the mold off. And then inside that mold, we lay the wet paper mache. When that dries, we pop out this very thin, lightweight piece that can then be put up on a bamboo stick, and it's not so burdensome for people to animate and move around with. A lot of times we'll do a mold too if I want to make something that's very specific, because it holds the detail really well. For instance, we just made a head of the mayor, and so I wanted to make sure that he looked beautiful in all his glory, and so I made sure that we took a casting of that. And then we have the casting if we ever need to make another mayor, it's always good
you could
to have
an army of mayors.
Yeah, it's good to have in your back pocket in case, something were to happen to the mayor. God forbid. So that's how we start with the elements that are then going to go on something. Then we start to make these armatures out of bamboo, And the beauty of these, the bamboo is very light, very strong, and you can put a lot of weight on these things, or a lot of volume on them. And it looks heavy, but it's really quite light. You see, I'm just picking this up. Then we try to do different things. Like here are some finished pieces over here. And these have some engineering in them so that they can be animated. Okay, they have elastic bands in them, PVC pipes that they can spin on. And these have been brought to us again by visiting artists from New York who had developed these kinds of techniques. And so we're incorporating them into our pieces. Some of these are made out of other stuff other than newspaper. This is made out of cheesecloth and glue, for instance. It's a little stronger and a little lighter, but also a little more labor intensive.
Mark went off to begin a session with Patty Smith and her students from the Bates Academy in Detroit.
So I'm wondering if you guys want to make something.
Okay, good.
So we were thinking maybe we would make something based on the universe.
So we're looking at puppets hanging from the ceiling, huge puppets everywhere in various stages of development. There's a big pumpkin, a rabbit's head, a movable dragon's head. As Mark said earlier, there are unfinished pieces, Marilyn Monroe, Barack Obama, and a bunch of the pieces from past parades.
We're about 2 weeks from this event going on, and as of right now, almost nothing that we can see has actually been painted. There are one or two painted pieces. Some of them are only wooden forms. Some of them have the papier-mâché done, some of them are just the newspaper, so this is really at varying stages of completeness at this point. So they're still working on this really right up until the event happens.
This year's Festifools event will be held on Sunday, April 5th from 4 to 5 p.m. on Main Street in Ann Arbor. To learn more about the Festifools, go to festifools.org.
You've been listening to the AADL Productions podcast from the Ann Arbor District Library.